Well, once again, we're going to talk about John the Baptist. You know, last week, of course, we had the baptism of the Lord where he baptized Jesus. And we had that Holy Spirit coming down upon him and talked about the importance of baptism. Well, this week now, we're kind of continuing the story where John the Baptist sees our Lord coming after the baptism. And he points to his disciples and said, "That's the one you need to follow. Not me. Follow him." When we look at John the Baptist, he really is the example of what it looks like for us to live as a disciple. Which is kind of hard to say because John the Baptist was kind of an extreme character even in his time. He definitely didn't read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, that's for sure. He was very rough, very straight spoken, and he made some people mad. But his life, he also realized, pointed to our Lord. He knew that his job was to prepare the way of the Lord, was to prepare the people of Israel, and by extension, that the people of that region, for the coming of our Lord. And he did. So he really is the example for us of what we need to do in our day, which is prepare the way of the Lord in our world today. And that is the call of each and every one of us as a disciple. Well, the first lesson we can learn from John the Baptist is his humility. He was very humble. He knew his purpose. He knew why he came, why he was born, why he went out into the desert to preach and to baptize, to prepare for our Lord. And he did. And he also realized when his ministry was done, when his work as the Baptist was done, was when our Lord had been baptized. And that's why when he was talking to his disciples and saw our Lord coming, he said, "He's the Lamb of God. He's the one you need to follow, not me." You know, another place John the Baptist says, "I must decrease, he must increase." He knew at that point our Lord was going to begin his ministry and that his job as prophet, as baptizer, was done. And he could fade into the background. And he did so willingly. Of course, he didn't live much longer after that, about because of something I'll talk about later in the homily. But he showed that example. He showed, one thing he showed too, is that we were set apart. John the Baptist, of course, was set apart before birth to be a prophet, to be a baptizer. But when we were baptized, we were set apart. We were called to be holy. Well, for something to be holy means it's set apart. Now, this isn't meaning like set apart like we might have our nice china that we set aside or nice silverware that we set aside for fine, for good, fancy dinners. But we use just our regular plates and silverware for lunch and so on, just regular lunches and so on. It's set apart. To be holy is to be set apart specifically for God. And each and every one of us at our baptism, when the Holy Spirit came down upon us, were set apart to be holy, to be for God. And so what John the Baptist also shows us is what it means to do that. Now, St. Paul tells us, "To you have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." So St. Paul recognized that at our baptism, we were sanctified in Christ Jesus. We were set apart. We were called to be holy. So what does that look like when we look at John the Baptist? Well, first of all, we are called to be holy by being the light to the nations. John the Baptist showed us what it looks like to be the light to the nations. That when people see us, they should see that light of Christ shining through us. That they should see that salvation that has been promised to us, or as the first reading, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. They should see that salvation shining through us. And if we're honest, most of us don't do so well at that, myself very much included. We don't always show the light of Christ in our lives because we're generally showing ourselves and not Christ in us. But yet that is our call to be holy, is that our lives echo those words of John the Baptist, those words that we hear every day at Mass. Behold the Lamb of God who comes, who takes away the sins of the world. The priest says that every day at Mass as he holds up the host and the chalice. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Savior of the world. Behold the one who came to give his life so that we might have salvation. To sacrifice himself as the Lamb, the spotless sacrifice. We are to show that in our lives, that our lives are pointing not to ourselves, but to him. That's the first thing we are called to do. The second thing we are called to do is kind of an extension of that. Now, most of you have probably heard and maybe even said the phrase, preach the gospel always and when necessary, use words. And that's a great phrase that I think we misunderstand or is used for ulterior purposes. That first part is clear. Preach the gospel always. That's what it means to be that light to the world, to let that light of Christ shine through us. Preach the gospel always with our actions, with how we live our lives. Then there's that second part, when necessary, use words. I think a lot of people will look at that and say, well, there never is a necessary, so I don't have to use words. Wrong. Often it's very necessary for us to use words. And the second part of being holy that we see with John the Baptist is to testify that Jesus is the Son of God. John the Baptist, through his baptism, and then again in our gospel, proclaims that he is the Son of God with the Holy Spirit coming down upon him. We are called to do the same. Yes, our lives must model our Lord's. But we must also proclaim our belief that Jesus is the Son of God, that he suffered and died and rose again, that we may have salvation, and that he wants everyone to have it. We must use our words to proclaim that, which is even harder than living the Christian life. It's even harder than living modeled after our Lord. It's difficult to proclaim our faith. It's difficult to say what we believe, to share it, especially with those close to us, to share our faith, to share our belief, to invite them to join us in that faith, in that belief. But yet, as a disciple called to be holy, that is part of our call of holiness, is to proclaim our belief in the Son of God. And then third of all, and this is probably the most difficult if we really took it to heart. One thing we see John the Baptist do, he had no problem calling out people who are doing immoral behavior. He had no problem calling out people who were doing unjust actions and passing unjust laws. Look at his words to the scribes and Pharisees. They were very much not complimentary. I think he called them a brood of vipers. He asked them why were they fleeing from the oncoming wrath. Neither of which are very, you ain't going to win friends and influence people doing that. I can tell you that. We need to have that same boldness. That when we see in our area, in our community, in our country, immoral behaviors, unjust laws being passed, we need to call them out. We need to encourage people to turn away from those immoral behaviors, from those, and to pass just laws. Laws that bring justice, not injustice. Now we can, another example from John the Baptist on this was King Herod of Galilee, the ruler of Galilee. Not the King Herod that was at the time of Jesus' birth, but his son. And he basically shacked up with his brother's wife, which is against the Jewish law. And John the Baptist called him for it and literally lost his head for it. We need to have that kind of boldness. And, in our country, there are things that are immoral that are happening. There are unjust laws. We could think of the poverty and racism and war and violence that we see. Issues, some of the issues around immigration and so on that are going on in these days. And we might disagree about what's the best way to solve them, but we still need to call out the immorality, the lack of justice that we see. You'd be willing to call that out. The main reason why I bring this up, especially this week, is because of a Supreme Court decision that we will mark and, I would say, mourn the anniversary of on Wednesday. The Wednesday is in the United States Church, it will be the day of prayer for protection for unborn children. And the Supreme Court decision I'm referencing is Roe versus Wade, which was passed January 22nd, 1973. Just setting aside the issue of abortion for a brief second, it's not even a good decision. I've read a number of legal scholars who agree with abortion, and they still say it was a bad decision. But it's also a very immoral decision, because Roe versus Wade and the accompanying Doe versus Bolton, both were decided on the same day, legalized abortion in the United States from the very moment of conception to the very moment of birth. And there's even a push to go beyond that, where even after the child is born, there, for any reason, a mother can abort a child. That is the ultimate injustice. That is the ultimate immorality, the killing of an innocent. And so, like I said, on Wednesday, we will mark and remember that. The question then is, how do we fight this? How do we call out these injustices? How do we call out this immorality such as abortion? Well, first of all, we need to pray, and we need to pray hard. We need to dedicate our lives to prayer that our nation will be a nation of life, a culture of life, as John Paul II coined the phrase, not a culture of death. Second of all, we need to work to overturn these laws and to overturn the immorality. So we need to be getting a hold of our elected officials over there in D.C. and remind them who they work for. Us. We don't work for them. They work for us. And we need to remind them and need to encourage them to fight to overcome these laws, to pass laws, to work with the Supreme Court to pass laws that will overturn Roe versus Wade. And of course, it helps to get Supreme Court justices who will overturn it eventually. But we also need to make public stands. That's one thing I greatly appreciate organizations like 40 Days for Life, which is a Christian non-denominational organization that goes and prays in front of abortion clinics like Planned Parenthood and the independent clinics that are throughout our country. And we have chapters actually both in Great Falls and Billings. But of course, we can't get there to go and pray as part of this 40 Days for Life, but we can still support them. We can support them with our prayers, joining them in prayer here, but also financially and so on. Another thing 40 Days for Life does a lot of times is they will have people who will try to convince the women, encourage them to a change of heart, that they won't go through with the procedure, and have generally fairly good success if they can talk to them and provide them better options, better choices than abortion. So we need to encourage movements like that. And if we can participate in them, do so. Following this call to be holy is not an easy thing, but it is something that we are called, each and every one of us is called to do by our baptism. Encourage everyone to, like John the Baptist, to seek that holiness, to seek that being set apart for God and letting that light of Christ shine through us, that we might bring others to be set apart as well.